I'm Kristen McFarland, and this is Market Like a Badass.
I'm the founder and CEO of The Source Marketing Group, a marketing technology company in Colorado focused on highly regulated markets like cannabis and craft beer, and 7-to-8-figure D2C and e-commerce brands and retailers. We provide badass retention marketing services from website, end-to-end communications like email and SMS, to integration services to connect all that data and help you monetize your customer data to win more business. The Source Marketing Group believes every business deserves to have the resources to market like a badass. That's why we've invested in creating over 50 episodes of actionable marketing strategies absolutely free. So make sure you give other episodes a listen, from privacy and security, managing entrepreneurial burnout, to running global events. We've really covered it all. Tune in on Apple or Spotify to hear more. And if you like this podcast, please drop a positive review on Apple or Spotify, and that'll help us grow. I'm here with a very special guest today, Garrett Rudolph, who is the editor-in-chief and lead badass at Marijuana Venture Magazine. And I'm really excited to dig into all of the badass marketing tips and tricks today. As an editor at MJ Venture, they have all kinds of cool collabs to talk about, how to get earned media opportunities and pitch yourself as a small business without PR support. And we're going to cover all kinds of other fun topics. They even have a special event series that we're going to talk more about today, and I can't wait to dive into everything. Welcome, Garrett. Excited to dig into all of the badass marketing tips and tricks today. Before we dive into that, Garrett, tell our audience a little bit more about yourself and what you do.
Yeah, I'm the editor-in-chief of Marijuana Venture. We started the magazine back in 2014, so we've been publishing for right about 12 years now, and then we also host an event series called Interchange, so relatively small company, so everybody kind of wears a lot of hats, kind of the editorial side is kind of where my main focus has been for the past 12 years.
Oh, I love it. And really cool that you are so involved in the community through the events. And I want to talk a little bit more about that here momentarily. But first, let's dive into a little bit more about the business background and insights. Tell our audience a little bit more about Marijuana Venture Magazine. What do you all do?
Yeah, I mean, so we are a B2B magazine, focus a lot nowadays on kind of the people and the companies that are involved in the space. We started back in 2014, right as Washington was starting to license its adult use cannabis businesses. We're based in Seattle, so it's kind of our backyard. And so, we put out our first issue as an 8-page black and white newsletter in March of 2014. And then it kind of grew steadily from there. First issue went out just to Washington business applicants, Washington cannabis business license applicants, and then, expanded into Colorado, and then expanded into basically every state that has a regulated cannabis program since then. So,
wow.
So it was, like I said, it was an 8-page black and white newsletter that just kind of took off and has grown ever since.
That's amazing. Wow. That's a long time to be doing it, over a decade of experience. And you all have probably seen and heard it all. So I'm excited to dig in to tips and tricks and pick your brain even more. But, one of the things that I think really stands out is how you all give back to the community through your event series and help, get people in a room together and connecting the cannabis community. So tell us a little bit more about that event series. Who's it for?
Yes, we started it in 2016. We put on our first event. Actually, planning kind of started in 2015, but like everything in cannabis, everything takes a little bit longer to get up and running than you think it is. So, Yeah, we started our first event in 2016. The easiest way to describe it, and I sort of hate this analogy, but it is an easy way for people to understand it. It's like speed dating for cannabis businesses. We bring in kind of the top producers and processors. We bring in top retail buyers, and we set them up in 2 days full of scheduled sales meetings, basically networking meetings. And So it's really specific for the operators in the space. We usually bring in maybe 10 or 20 ancillary type companies, but most of the focus is on the businesses that are actually buying, selling, growing, producing cannabis products on a daily basis. So it's a really efficient way for them to, you know, kind of meet their needs of bringing the products to the buyers and making that sales connection happen.
Wow. That's priceless in this industry. You know, there's not a lot of those events where you actually get that intimate time with someone. And, there's so much noise and distraction sometimes at the large conferences. And so I think something like this is huge, just to really cut through the noise and, again, get that productive FaceTime and get the ROI out of the event. That's huge.
Yeah, it's very much what we were, you know, kind of focusing on. It's sort of the antithesis of the big conference style events.
Yeah.
You know, where you set up a booth and, you know, maybe you have thousands of people come through the doors, but you kind of sit there and wait for the right person to show up. And, you know, that can work, but we're just sort of seeing as the industry matures that's sort of less and less common, less and less necessary. Our events are much smaller in scale. You know, typically have maybe 350 or 400 people, but everybody's a licensee, everybody's a decision maker, and everybody's, you know, kind of at the event for a specific similar goal. So it works very well. And, you know, and I feel like these regional type events really have a lot more staying power within where we sit today in the regulated cannabis space.
Wow. So wait, if somebody wants to get involved, is it happening this year? It's a series or a roadshow? Do they get tickets, sponsor? What are the options?
Yeah. So we're putting on, right now we have 5 events scheduled in the U.S. Four of those are in Washington, which again is our home state. Mm-hmm. One is in Michigan in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, Michigan.
Yeah. You can sign up to participate. It's not like it's not open to the public, so it's not like you can just go buy tickets. Yep. But we have packages for vendors, packages for retailers. It's actually free to participate as a retail buyer. And then we have packages for ancillary third-party type companies.
Wow.
You can connect with us through our website or reaching out to me directly, and we can figure it out from there.
That's huge. I mean, just from an ROI perspective, I mean, as an ancillary, I definitely got to hit you up after about that package. That's really huge. And congrats on everything that you all have built, because that's priceless what you all are doing. And, I want you to talk a little bit more about what's something unique about your business that you'd want everyone to know.
Yeah, I think, trying to brainstorm something that was unique. But I think doing some quick math here, in 12 years, focus on being a print publication, which is sort of has become a rarity in the industry that we work in. So over the 12 years we've been publishing, we have actually published 138 print magazines between Marijuana Venture and two sister magazines that we launched and published for a limited period of time. Marijuana Venture obviously being the main one that we published monthly for a long time. Over the course of 12 years with a relatively small staff, we published 138 print magazines.
Wow. That's huge. And I applaud the effort, and it's priceless, because we need that. We need representation and more, you know, media and independent grassroots media specifically. You know, that's something we were talking about earlier. And it is so important to make sure through, again, advertising, events, subscriptions, that we help amplify our media partners in the space who are helping to amplify our own stories. You know, whether it's you all or someone else, it really is so important. And can you talk a little bit about why it is important?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just a huge believer in it. A huge believer in, you know, publications that are here to educate people, whether that's the consumer, whether that's the business owner, whether that's the general public. You know, if we leave this up to mainstream media, you know, the coverage is probably never really going to be there. And, yeah. And we all are always going to wonder whether or not it's accurate or biased in a certain perspective. Mm-hmm. So I'm just a huge believer in the value of grassroots independent media and, you know, and that, you know, need for the people in the space to support that media. And again, yeah, like you said, that's not necessarily saying, hey, come advertise with me. I'd love it if you did. But, you know, mostly it's about find a publication that fits your values, fits mm-hmm. your interests, fits what your goals are, and, you know, support them in some capacity or another.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm so glad that you touched on that because it really is so important, and especially in this space. To your point, we need more people that are advocating for things like home grow and are willing to, you know, stick to their guns, so to speak, and support the industry and the progress that we're all trying to make.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want to move in and talk a little bit more around how to market like a badass. And having the editor-in-chief on the call, I want to talk about, you know, tips and tricks, especially as it relates to earned media and how people are thinking about PR or leveraging events and amplifying their brand through advertising. So let's dig into some of those details, and then we'll go from there with some of those juicy marketing questions. Mm-hmm. How do brands and retailers with limited PR budgets need to think about leveraging media in a consistent way to get their message out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think sort of having a plan and a goal with what you're trying to do is sort of the first thing that I would say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your goal is to reach the general public, you know, there's a certain type of media publication company that is going to maybe make sense for you to target a little bit more, or to kind of tailor your pitch to meet that particular media brand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in our case, you know, we're very B2B. You know, obviously we have subscribers who are, you know, just sort of part of the general public, but by and large, you know, 98% of our readers are within the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of keeping that in mind. If you're sending a pitch to me, if you're reaching out to say, hey, you know, would you be interested in writing a story on my company? You know, kind of tailor that pitch to keep in mind that the audience of my magazine is business owners, managers, investors. It's, you know, it's people who are involved specifically in the industry. So maybe that pitch, mm-hmm. you know, reads a little bit differently. Maybe the goal is a little bit different. Maybe, you know, what you're expecting out of it is a little bit different. And I think so just having a sort of a different game plan. If you're reaching out to Marijuana Venture, you know, you have this sort of a plan. If you're reaching out to the Wall Street Journal, you're probably, you know, tweaking that substantially. And, so yeah, I would just say kind of having a plan and understanding the publication that you're trying to connect with.
That's so true. And it's like know your audience, know their audience too.
Mm-hmm.
And because yes. How you pitch to them to get in is going to be contingent on that and the stories that they want to hear. And is there a magic number of, hey, I need to do this brand partnership with MJ Venture for a certain amount of time, or is there a certain avenue that works better, or does that depend on the goal as well of like how often you need to be placing, you know, in there to get that certain message out?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like if you're an advertiser, what I would sort of tell everybody is, like, you never see one advertisement on television, you know. Mm-hmm. it is about that repetition. So
yep.
You know, if you think you're going to, you know, throw some money at an advertisement and, you know, that's going to connect with your audience. Like, yeah, hopefully it does. But in the bigger picture, it is more about, you know, sort of repetition. You know, from an editorial perspective, I think it is a little bit different, especially sort of in the world that we live in, because if I write a story, not only does it get published in the magazine, but it is shared on social media. It sort of lives on into eternity when you have a story written. So, you know, so sort of slightly different goals and, you know, but yeah, like from the advertising standpoint, from the editorial standpoint, you know, there is sort of a value in having that consistent message.
That's so true. And then specifically, since you are a B2B publication in a highly regulated industry, what does a great story look like to you? And how's that different from what most businesses think that you want to hear?
Yeah, I think a lot of businesses are still sort of in the hype mode. You know, I get a lot of pitches sort of announcing the first ever, or we're the first licensee in this state, or we're the first to do this, or we're the first to do that. And, you know, being in this business for 12 years, we've seen a lot of people be first, and it doesn't always translate into being successful. And so at a certain point, when you're 12 years in on regulated adult use cannabis, you know, being first is something is sort of, you know, creating a very narrow path to say, well, you know, we're the first in this state to do this type of license within this time frame. That sort of lost a lot of its appeal at this point. You know, what we're looking for nowadays is more, you know, it's something that's a little bit unique, genuinely unique. You know, telling us that you have the best quality product is no longer a unique pitch. It probably never was. So, you know, finding something that is a part of your story that really truly is kind of interesting and unique about your company really is kind of number one way of standing out. And then two, just kind of being able to support whatever it is you're pitching with some sort of statistical backup, some sort of you know, concrete numbers. If you can share some statistics that say you're the number one vape brand in Colorado, like that goes a long way toward me, you know, recognizing like the credibility that goes in that. So, you know, so it's a lot less about just sort of the hype that says, hey, we're this great brand and consumers love us, and, you know, let me tell you why we're the best.
Yeah, and that's so true and great advice, because I think, to your point, we're transitioning away from the typical, okay, hype, yeah, we're the first to do this, and we really are having to think deeply about what is it in terms of how we're differentiated and how do we really tell that that story in a unique way. And so that can obviously be a challenge for some people. And so if they've dialed in that story, they finally have the good story dialed in that they're ready to pitch, what are the three best tips for outreach and follow-ups to make sure it actually gets traction?
Sure. First thing I would tell people is they sort of have to understand that I am inundated with pitches all day long, all week long. That's not just me. That's probably every journalist out there. That's every publication out there. I think I saw somewhat recent numbers that said there's like six times the number of people working in PR as there are working in journalism today. So if you sort of extrapolate that a little bit, you can understand that, yeah, my inbox is kind of full on a daily basis by these pitches. That doesn't mean you shouldn't make your own pitch, because a lot of the pitches that I have, you know, are just not necessarily a good fit. They don't, they're not inspiring. They're not interesting or unique. So there's certainly room for a good, well-tailored pitch. But you sort of have to understand that because of that, the timing is oftentimes, well, it's always on my timing and less about your timing. So, you know, people who think like, hey, I've got this great story and I want to get this out here right now, oftentimes those stories may take 3 months, 6 months, maybe even longer than that to actually come to fruition. Yeah. And it does, and again, that doesn't mean that there aren't times where, you know, the pitch comes and the timing just lines up perfectly and it comes together within 3 days. Mm-hmm. That, you know, that happens as well. So that's kind of, you know, one sort of long-winded tip that I would say. Another is, and this kind of alludes back to what I was saying earlier, like, when people read the publication, whether that's my publication or somebody else's publication, editors who are receiving these pitches can kind of get a sense on whether or not you understand my audience, whether you understand mm-hmm. the type of content, the type of articles that I'm looking to write. So, you know, again, if you're pitching something that is more consumer focused, that's something that's more, you know, off of the path that I've kind of traveled, that's going to be a harder goal to accomplish because it's just not in my wheelhouse. So, again, you know, reading the publication, having a good understanding of my goals, and, you know, and that's also, a conversation that we can have, and maybe this is sort of the third tip, is like, just rather than trying to necessarily be perfect, you can reach out to me and just say, hey, I'm, you know, I've been looking at Marijuana Venture, and, you know, I'm wondering if there's any possibility of having a story written about our company. I'm very easy to reach, whether that's through email. You know, I think my email address is fairly easy to find on our website. You know, find me on LinkedIn, whatever. Like, I'm not very difficult to find. I answer a lot of emails. You know, just reach out and sort of start that conversation. And, you know, and I'm happy to sit down and have that conversation, and as much as possible, sort of explain what I'm looking for, what the timing might look like, whether you're a good fit, whether you should, you know, come back to me in 3 months or 6 months or, you know, something along that line. So sort of building those bridges and relationships that don't necessarily have to come through a PR firm. You know, it could just be the CEO reaching out, or somebody in marketing reaching out and saying, hey, we've got this company, you know, would love to, you know, tell you a little bit about us and what we think makes us unique.
Dadiri did that. A really good job. I believe, is it Ashley? She did something similar where she almost created like a lead gen pipeline. Like, here, I wanted to get some earned media. She was having to reach out as the CEO, not necessarily having the PR firm, and had her targets, right? I want to be on this podcast. I want to get, in, you know, and I want to pitch this story here. But again, it was very much dialed in per channel, right? Because the message that she might share on Market Like a Badass would be more marketing oriented. What she does with MJ Venture is going to be totally different as well. And so I think, you know, it's the same way you're building a pipeline, whether you're reaching out to business partners or potential investors. I would say look at it in the same way of like, here's my hit list. I want to be in Marijuana Venture. I'd like to be part of Wall Street Journal, and then finding those contacts and stories to get in.
And it's sort of an investment. It's an investment in time and energy, and you know, sort of like a sales pitch. A lot of times you're going to hear no, or maybe you're going to hear not right now. But you know, consistency, you know, checking in maybe once a month or whatever kind of works for your schedule. Something that's not obnoxious, but is following through with things. You know, it's also sort of surprising how many people will reach out to me and say, hey, you should write a story about my company. And I'll respond and say, hey, maybe like the timing's not right, but like, you know, maybe check back in 3 months or 6 months or whatever. And honestly, I would say maybe only 10% of those people actually ever follow up and follow through and say, hey, remember in February when I sent you an email and said, hey, you know, can we talk? You know, now here it is May, you know, would now be a better time. And, you know, a lot of what we do is just, things behind the scenes that a lot of people wouldn't realize, that, you know, that there's just certain times of the year where I'm just sort of too busy to really think about some of the things that people are pitching to me. Right now, for example, we're getting ready for our first Seattle event of the year. So this week is going to be very busy. After that, we've got Michigan in 3 weeks. Again, it's going to be a very busy stretch of time. And then April, like all of a sudden my schedule opens up a little bit and I'm able to start having more of those broader conversations. So, you know, just sort of that basic follow-up. Again, it's sort of like a sales strategy. Mm-hmm. Like you don't just send, hey, you know, you want to buy this product and then disappear forever. Like you've got to follow up. You've got to be a little bit persistent. And it's not about being obnoxious, but it is about being persistent, and it does work. And it's sort of surprising how few companies actually have that persistence.
Yes. Oh, I'm glad you brought that up, because that was going to be one of my questions too, was maximizing, right? That mm-hmm. you work so hard to earn media. Mm-hmm. How do you make it work as hard as possible? And Alice Moon just posted about this as well. And I thought it was a brilliant post on LinkedIn. And she was saying, you know, if you took the time, you finally get this, like, make it an opportunity also to shout out the media company who, gave you that spot, and put it in your email newsletter and share it with your audience. Turn it into a social post, turn it into a blog post. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ways to repeat that in your own content strategy, but it's also going to help your media partner, because it's a true partnership, right? I mean, you guys want to get amplified just as much as... Mm-hmm. as, you know, the advertiser or, you know, and it's a two-way street. So I think that's how you build that beautiful relationship that helps everybody win, especially with an independent journalism, you know, mm-hmm. being conscious of that. So I'm really glad you brought that up, because the follow-ups mm-hmm. really is where you maximize the time and the turnaround. Because if you're in crunch time, somebody says, oh, we can fit you in, but we've got a short deadline, and then you miss that, why in the hell are they going to risk that again in the mm-hmm. future on you?
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Sort of 2 points on that. One, you're absolutely correct that kind of doing your own amplification, whether that's social media, whether that's your own newsletter, whatever that looks like. And, you know, and on my side, I'm often happy to provide assets if that helps in any way. But yeah, that's huge. You can sort of take one piece of earned media and sort of recycle it into, you know, if you're really interested in mm-hmm. it, you could recycle it into almost an infinite number of content pieces, bits and pieces for social media or for, you know, your newsletter, your website, whatever it is that kind of works in your content strategy. Mm-hmm. The other thing you said, like kind of missing that opportunity, you know, one of the things that to me is sort of still a little surprising in this space is how many people don't have good photos that are ready to go. They might grow, you know, they might genuinely grow the best flower in the United States east of the Mississippi and like have never taken good photos of it. Maybe, you know, and in today's day and age, like you can do a lot of that with a good smartphone. But you can also, you know, hire a photographer for usually a pretty reasonable price who will shoot some incredible photos, whether that's your products, your team, your facilities, you know, maybe more lifestyle type photos. And again, those, you know, very similar to a piece of earned media that you would get. Those, you know, having those assets can sort of be recycled endlessly through social media. You can have them, you know, prepared and ready. If you reach out to me and say, hey, you know, would you be interested in doing a story on my company? And I say, hey, yeah, I've actually got a window and this fits a theme that I'm looking for. Like, let's talk tomorrow. And can you send me photos? If you don't have those photos kind of ready to go, it's a missed opportunity on my side, and it's hard to say whether or not that's going to come back around. So having those photos ready before you start your PR or your media outreach is really huge, and in a lot of ways it works very similar to that social media, earned media, sharing content, having photos for your social media or for your newsletter.
Oh, I'm so glad you touched on that. Just because from a marketing perspective, we can reuse those assets too, and so often. Mm-hmm. We, you know, if we're using stock photos, how often do you see the same stock photos repurposed? Oh. It's like just getting those assets, and it, you know, one or two images like that can really bring that brand and personal brand to life too.
And it's stock photos and it's AI photos nowadays. And,
oh Lord,
you know,
yeah. AI
like
photos.
I get on, you know, if I get on LinkedIn, like it's either the same stock photo that I've seen used by five different brands. And I've probably been guilty of it before too. But it's that, or it's some sort of an AI graphic, and it's very obvious that you just sort of plugged something into your, you know, your favorite AI platform, and it spit something out, and it just sort of lacks the authenticity. I think consumers recognize that. I think that, you know, other people in the media recognize that, and I think
investors,
the industry at large, if you sort of think that you're getting away with something, a lot of people who matter would recognize otherwise.
Yeah. And it's such a small thing in the sense that, to your point, you could hire probably $300-$400. You know, you don't have to spend an astronomical amount, have somebody show up for just an hour, you know, to do a quick session, and it would look tremendously better. And I think that's so important. And just to really lock in the, again, if you're doing an ad, just the visuals are going to look so much better. And to your point, the authenticity factor, which, you know, we, especially for, I imagine, like craft growers who are so authentic and they care about their product, like, we want you to look as badass as like the flower that you share on your Instagram, or at least try to share before we get kicked off. But I appreciate it. I think these are all such badass tips, and I really appreciate you coming on to just to, again, shed some light on these, because I think so often it's the little things that go overlooked, and then, you know, ancillaries or other small businesses who are maybe self-funded are going, well, how the hell do I do that? You know, is it just the MSOs? No, actually, there's a lot of ways to get involved with independent media, and you don't have to have the deepest pockets in the industry.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times a CEO or a marketing person reaching out carries a certain amount more weight than another PR firm. You know, obviously I'm familiar with and work with many of the PR firms on certain things, but you know, it does go a long way. The PR firm has a certain agenda and a certain angle, and you know, obviously the company does too, but it does sometimes carry more weight, you know, just getting a message from, you know, somebody in leadership saying, you know, hey, we read your magazine and we think we might be a fit, and just wanted to reach out and make this connection.
Yep. That's huge. Well, and I hope everyone listening reaches out, connects with Garrett on LinkedIn, and just, again, shoot your shot. At least connect on LinkedIn with Garrett. You know, you can send a DM, ask those questions. You know, we're here to help each other and progress the industry. So, you know, we're allowed to make mistakes, but it's just how we, you know, how we go about it. And as long as we're treating each other with professionalism and respect, it's all good. And we want to help each other win. So connect with Garrett on LinkedIn. Make sure that you're also following the Marijuana Venture magazine and checking out that website. We'll share some quick links in just a second. But first, before I let you go, I want to drop you into a quick new round. This is a round of ass or badass. I'm going to talk about headlines and hot topics from the industry, and you can tell me based on the topic whether it's ass or badass.
Okay.
All right. First headline: New York cannabis dispensary sued for website accessibility issue. Ass or badass?
I guess I don't know much about this story, sort of surprisingly. So I'm going to say ass.
Yep. And I'm going to say the same. That is a pain in the ass. Even if you're, you know, going and designing with the WCAG guidelines, there's a lot of people that think, hey, let's sue these dispensaries and get their money. And, you know, your website's a public place. So just be mindful of that, because we don't want to see other people in the industry getting sued.
Yeah.
All right. Here's another one for you. San Francisco's two Michelin-starred restaurant, Lazy Bear, has partnered with Sonoma Hills Farm and Humboldt Seed Company to create a proprietary cannabis strain called Lazy Bear Reserve, the result of 3 years of careful cultivation work. Is this collab ass or badass?
Oh, that's definitely badass.
I think that's badass. A Michelin star with their own cannabis strain? Oh, my God. Well, I gotta go.
Especially kind of interesting since I think a few years ago, French Laundry sued a genetics company or somebody over using their strain name. So, you know, maybe it was potentially a lost opportunity there. You know, so yeah, it's fantastic to see a restaurant sort of thinking creatively and collaboratively with the cannabis space.
I love it. I can't wait to see. I think that's the future of where cannabis is going. Like, you know, similar to how Sierra Social is kind of breaking the mold in terms of hospitality. And so I can't wait to see, yeah, what the future holds and more cool collabs like that. This one's less of a headline, more of a headline summary, but independent cannabis accessory retailers are accusing Shopify of giving Seth Rogen's lifestyle brand Houseplant preferential access to payment processing.
That's ass.
That is ass. I am so sad for, you know, so many clients of ours that have to pay extra, you know, to be on that platform or deal with, you know, and so, you know, again, why are there certain loopholes for some or for celebrity brands? I hope that we see some more consistency with these mainstream tech partners because, hey, we all deserve that. You know, we have a lot of people on Shopify that deserve that are self-funded and aren't a celebrity-backed brand.
Yeah.
All right, got another one for you. Michigan marijuana industry sees largest month-over-month decline in sales as 24% wholesale tax goes into effect. Ass or badass?
Definitely ass.
Ass.
Yeah. And I will personal plug here. You know, for our Michigan event, we are working with the Michigan Cannabis Industry Association. It's a co-produced event. They're in the process of fighting that 24% wholesale tax through a lawsuit against the state. 50% of their profits of this event are actually going toward that lawsuit. So, so that event is sort of a way of hopefully getting some sanity back into the Michigan market. And so definitely ass on the state implementing that.
Yeah, definitely ass. I'll say one thing, though, off of that that's been badass is road trip pre-rolls, you know, Sunday smokes trying to keep their prices the same, even though they're dealing with such price compression and issues in that market. The fact that they're looking out for consumers and eating some of that cost. I don't see a lot of brands doing that to protect consumer pockets. And we have family in Michigan and they've noticed the prices going up. I mean, they've made comments to us. And so I think that's just a testament to some of these badass, you know, independent operators that really just put the community first. And so I think that's badass. And I wanted to give something positive there. And then the last one, cannabis business owner, social equity advocate running for House seat in Aurora, Colorado. Ass or badass?
Oh, definitely badass.
Yeah, shout out to Sarah.
Fantastic to see people, whether that's at the local level, the state level, the federal level, people who have been involved in cannabis, people who are cannabis advocates, cannabis business people. Absolutely fantastic to see them involved in politics at all levels.
Yeah. I mean, and Sarah Woodson is going to be the best for that. You know, someone so close to the ground who understands, you know, the struggles and hurdles and where some of those roadblocks are happening because of issues with legislators locally, etc. So, wow, I'm just super proud of both Sarah and then locally also Wanda James, who's running for Congress, to see our community step up in that way. Because every day we have to fight. I mean, we have to fight just to continue to operate. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I see Canna Cabana Bus and so many other local social equity operators having to fight just for, you know, the basic rights to operate. And so hats off to the badasses that are continuing to elevate and go even further politically to help both locally, but also the industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We're definitely still like the fight is not over. You know, we're seeing legislation in Massachusetts and Arizona to try to repeal adult use sales. We're seeing a push in Oklahoma to repeal medical. Mm-hmm. We're seeing legislation in both Washington and Colorado that would be, you know, pretty detrimental to industry operators. Same thing in Montana, Michigan, California. We've seen, you know, whether it's taxes or whether it's other regulations, we're still seeing sort of that onslaught of legislation from people that are anti-cannabis that are sort of trying to shut down or diminish the industry. So, definitely need more voices on the political front.
That's right. Yeah. And again, just supporting craft growers, independent journalism, you know, small businesses that are self-funded in the on the ancillary side. Like, you know, I think consciously hiring over the next few years is going to be huge. Shout out to Stella Morrison, who does a really good job with you know, hiring really diverse candidates in the space. And I think, you know, as we become more intentional, we're all going to help progress the industry and overcome the hurdles that we're constantly facing. Like you said, they're not slowing down in terms of trying to slow us down, but we're going to continue to conquer and move forward. And thanks so much to you for all your efforts, for everything that, you know, Marijuana Venture Magazine does to elevate businesses in this space. It's priceless. And thank you again for coming on. And before you leave, just I wanted to have you tell our listeners where to find you.
Yep. Obviously, sort of the easiest place is just through our website, marijuanaventure.com. You know, also fairly easy to find on LinkedIn. Our events website is interchangemv.com. So that has information about all our dates and all that. But yeah, mostly marijuanaventure.com sort of has all or most of that right there on the site. So that's probably the easiest way.
Hell yes. Well, I love it. Thank you for the amazing tips and tricks. And again, for everything you all do for the industry and beyond. Follow us on Apple or Spotify or go to marketlikeabadass.media for the latest episodes of Market Like a Badass.